Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers, Harriet Williams and Martha Deal. Jason Croft is at the controls. In this part of Focus, we'll be taking up an issue that we have discussed from time to time here on the program, and that is water. Particularly recently, we've done some shows about water looking at the issue of drought, concentrating some on the West, but also other parts of the country. We've talked a little bit about the trend that we've seen various places around the country of large companies coming in and buying up local water sources and water systems. And we have also talked about the issue of water and shortages of water, various places around the country, and not very long ago, we talked about, for example, the problem that, amazingly enough, in Florida, they're having problems with water, even though they are surrounded by it. And we thought that it would be a good idea to, after having talked about this in a larger sense, to bring it back home here and talk about water issues in Illinois and very specifically in our part of the state. Certainly, it is true that compared with a lot of other parts around the country, here in Illinois, it seems that we do have enough water at least to meet our current needs, but we have every reason to expect that the demand for water will continue to grow, and there is some concern that there might be some parts of the state, northeastern and central Illinois, that could face water shortages. So this morning we will talk, as we have in the past, about this subject with Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. It's based here on the campus of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And he is involved in a study, he and a lot of other people are involved in a study, trying to get an accurate picture of water in the state of Illinois, where the water is and how much there is and how much we're using it now and what the future demand is likely to be. All of this with an eye toward developing a plan to manage this resource so that we can indeed meet future needs. Just a little bit more about our guest. He was appointed to chief of the Water Survey in 1997, at least that's when he started in on his job. He's been doing work in environmental research and management for a long time. He served as deputy chief scientist in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and also as director of the National Acid Precipitation Assessment Program in Washington, D.C. He has worked a number of places around the world. He worked in the UK, in the Middle East, in Africa, and also in Canada before going to the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder. He's interested in climatology and air quality and water resources, among other things. And we're pleased to have him here once again. Questions are welcome, and I'm sure that he will do his best to give you an answer. If he knows the answer, he'll give it to you. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. Well, thanks again for being here very much.
I appreciate it, and I welcome the opportunity to be here.
Do we know with a fair amount of confidence, let's just say, how much every day here in the state of Illinois, how much water is used? What's the daily water usage? Or from whatever time frame you have a number for.
Well, we do have daily data. On average day, we use almost 16 billion gallons of water per day. About 85% of that is actually used in electric power production. Most of that, perhaps 97% of it or so, is actually just recycled through. It's used for cooling. So only perhaps 3% is used consumptively, as mm-hmm. we call it. The other major uses are for public water supplies. They use almost 2 billion gallons per day. Self-supplied industries, about half a billion gallons of water per day. Livestock and irrigation, relatively small use in Illinois, whereas in the country as a whole, agriculture uses about 85% of the water in the country. Mm-hmm. But those are the data that we have.
And I think that one of the big questions that I know that you're involved in trying to answer and other people are is, what, as we look at demand out into the future, certainly there is an increased demand because population grows, particularly in certain places, like right here in East Central Illinois, and there is interest in developing industrial applications that would potentially use a lot of water, like an ethanol plant, for example. So there's a real reason to be concerned about just what the demand is going to be in the future and how we think we might meet it. Now, that's, I suppose, a matter of speculation and projection. Mm-hmm. Is there some way to talk about what we think future demand is going to be and future usage will be?
Well, a few years ago, we did have a study conducted by Professor Ben Jugalevsky at Southern Illinois University, the Water Survey Commission, to give us a forecast of water demand of the next 20 years out to 2025. And we asked for that on a county-by-county basis, so it doesn't go down to individual industries or municipalities. But that showed an increase of about 28% in water demand out to 2025. The latest activities we're engaged in with the regional planning groups that we'll talk more about later,
sure.
Taking the time horizon as 2050, recognizing that we need to look several generations or more to try and get some idea of what might be needed. So we're in the process of producing water demand scenarios, as we call them, out to 2050. We'll have a baseline scenario where we assume that the trends that have occurred over the last decade or so might continue into the future. Then we'll have two other scenarios, one with an increasing demand above that, where you might get increasing number of large industrial users such as ethanol plants. And then another scenario, a conservation scenario, if we assume that there's conservation practices put into place. So we'll have three different water demand scenarios out to 2050, and we'll have that by much more detailed resolution by each major industry and each major municipality.
Mm. So just to stick at least to what is sort of the ballpark estimate, at least that a lot of people use, that we're thinking that maybe 28% increase in demand over the next
20 years.
Is there, do you think, some reason to be concerned about whether we will be able to meet that increased demand for water?
There is concern, I think, in some parts of the state. And the focus is on these studies that we're engaged in now is to take two high-priority areas where our analysis show there's greatest concern. And those are northeast Illinois, and particularly some of the collar counties showing very high growth rates. And water demand there could increase by 50-70%. Mm. And the other hotspot, as we call it, is in east central Illinois, and particularly around Champaign-Urbana. It is one of the hotspots of the state. So we're focusing on those parts of the state where we can document that there are concerns and trying to get the data together that can be used in planning.
And both the places that you talk about in that area of northern Illinois and here draw their water from deep aquifers?
Well, northeast Illinois has several sources of water. The biggest source of water, of course, is Lake Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. And there is certainly the city of Chicago. They get their water from Lake Michigan. Does also DuPage County? Are they now primarily drawing on the lake?
The service area for Lake Michigan water does extend beyond Cook County into some of the surrounding counties. But as we see exploding growth in McHenry, Lake, Kendall counties, and Kane County, and so on, it's unlikely that much of that growth can be met by expanding the Lake Michigan service area. We'll have to look for new sources, particularly from shallow aquifers.
Yeah, and is it the case that as far as those here, we're drawing from the Mahomet Aquifer. There is one large one that the northeastern Illinois deep bedrock aquifer,
yes.
And apparently there are others that are not quite so deep. Is it the case that we don't? These have not been completely mapped so that we don't know for certain how much water is there?
That's true. We have some studies have been done historically, so we do have some notions of how much water there is there. What we're doing at the moment is getting more detailed information such that if we want to, say, withdraw a certain amount of water at certain locations, we'll be able to estimate the impact of those particular withdrawals. So going from the more general to the more particular And we do this by constructing geological models, first of all, characterizing the geological character of the aquifers. The Geological Survey does that work. And they pass those geological models over to the Water Survey, and we develop groundwater flow models that allows us to track the flow of water and to determine the impacts of withdrawals. So by June 2009, we will have water demand and water supply studies done in both these areas, how much water is going to be needed and how much water can we safely remove and what the consequences are.
We're talking here in this part of Focus 580 with Derek Wynn Stanley. He's chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, and we're talking about water in Illinois. Where it is, where it comes from, the resource we depend on, how much we use now, what we think we're going to use in the future, and all of this is in part of an effort that he is involved with to try to develop a plan for managing and using this resource in a sustainable way, something that was put into motion by the governor when he signed this state. This order for this statewide survey of water supplies at the beginning. This happened at the beginning of last year, beginning of 2006. And as Dr. Wynn Stanley has said, the first thing that they did was decided to look closely at these two particular areas here, where we are, and in the northern part of the state, to just get an idea about what the resource is and how it's being used and what future use is. And I think then eventually the idea is what you want to do is to do that kind of mapping of the entire state.
Yeah. Yes.
We have someone who's been patient with us, and we'll want to bring them into the conversation here in Champaign on our line number one right here. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Mm-hmm. I always try to – I want to make sure I got on. This should be a hot topic. I was watching distilled water yesterday, a gallon, and actually I really wasn't aware of this. So the source is Municipal Water Supply Champaign, and it's marketed by Walmart stores. You can also, if you buy the drinking water. My question is that do we know how much water, this certainly is going to go out of state. It must be marketed in a number of different states, our water supply here. Do we have any idea how much is taken here and also statewide that's marketed outside the state? I know there was a thing about Lake Michigan and, you know, other states wanted, to get water. Also to add, I know that Will County is another expanding area in terms of water from Lake Michigan. So anyway, I'll go offline and let you discuss this. Thank
you. Okay.
I don't have a good clear figure on how much water is marketed out of the state. I know there have been a lot of concerns expressed about states, particularly western states, perhaps demanding water from Lake Michigan, for example. That is very, very unlikely to occur. The Lake Michigan water is managed under compact with other states surrounding the Great Lakes and with the Canadian provinces, and there's a very, very tight agreement on how to manage those water supplies. And part of that was specifically to address the concern of some western states wanting lake water. So that is pretty tightly controlled. There's also within the state of Illinois, the law is that you can withdraw as much groundwater as you wish if you own the piece of land on which you drill the well, but you can't readily sell or transport the water beyond that property. You need a permission from by statute through the General Assembly to do that, and that is, of course, granted particularly to municipalities, because they serve and distribute water beyond the specific location of the wells. So there are controls in place, but I don't have a tight figure on how much water is bottled and used.
All right. Let me just pass on a news item to you. Tom Rogers, our news director, just came and handed this to me. Parkland College is closing for the day due apparently to what they call a credible threat given to the college's public safety department. All classes at Parkland are canceled for the day. There will be no activities on the campus today and tonight, and faculty, staff, and students are being asked to leave the campus. Now, that's all the information we have on this right at the moment. I'm sure as we learn more, we will pass it on to you, and I'm sure it's a story that our news department is following, and when there is more information, we will pass it on to you. But again, the important thing here is that classes at Parkland, all classes, have been canceled for the day. There will be no activities on the campus today and tonight. Faculty, staff, and students are being asked to leave the campus. And again, Parkland College is closing for the day due to a credible threat that was given to the college's public safety department. And we'll have more on that, I'm sure, as the news becomes available. And again, here on Focus 580, we're talking about water. And our guest is Derek Winstanley. He's chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. Oh, I just mentioned real quickly the fact that there has now been this study mechanism set up so we can get an idea of water, study of water in the state of Illinois, and that this is something that you're involved in, and you began first by concentrating on these two particular areas, this area in northern Illinois where there is concern about very intense use now and intense use in the future and what that will mean for the resource, and also here in our area, East Central Illinois, the same kind of concern about future growth and how that will put pressure on that resource. Do you want to just talk a little bit more about what this study is all about?
Yes, it's you mentioned the executive order that was passed by the governor last year, which required these studies to be done and the process set up that will lead to regional water supply planning. And I think it's important to note that it's the first time in the state's history that there's been a requirement to develop regional water plans. Mm-hmm. So I look at it very favorably as a step, an important step in the right direction. And the governor required the Illinois Department of Natural Resources to take the lead in this study, and for the Office of Water Resources in Springfield to work closely with the scientific surveys here in Champaign. And the two major components to it. One is the scientific studies, trying to better characterize the aquifers and the water supply that the scientific surveys are conducting in those two areas. But the other important part of it is setting up local planning groups, one in northeast Illinois and one in east central Illinois. We know from other states' experience and from experience in our own state of Illinois that a top-down approach of the government telling everybody how to manage their resources very rarely works. And so we've set up a grassroots-level approach and established two planning groups, one in each region, that have representatives, and these representatives are selected by their own interest groups, from a diverse interests from agriculture, municipalities, counties, environmental interests, rural water districts, industry, small businesses, water utilities, and so on. So these two groups have now been meeting all year, and we being the scientific surveys, have been briefing them on the different aspects of water supply in their own region. And they've also hired consultants to produce these water demand scenarios out to 2050. So those demand studies are underway now, and we should see those reports in the next few months. So that will give us for the first time estimates, detailed estimates of how much water might be needed. And we'll, the surveys will then put that information together with our water supply, water availability information to determine where there might be conflicts and whether areas of potential no problem. And that information will then go back to the two regional planning groups, and they will make recommendations on regional plans on how to manage the water resources in the two regions. Mm-hmm. And those recommendations should be made by June 2009. So these two working groups are very active. As I said, for the first time, we have this process in place now, and we hope that it will lead to a permanent process for developing water supply plans across the whole state. This is intended to be a pilot study, so we intend to learn from this process and also by June 2009 develop a plan for statewide water supply planning and management.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this, it seems to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, that perhaps ultimately one of the big challenges about implementing such a plan is that it's going to be voluntary in the sense that for it to work, everyone's going to have to agree to it, to sign on, to say, yes, that we'll all cooperate together. Because, as you say, what the law says, if you own a piece of land and you drill a well there, you can draw as much water out of that as you want. There's no law that's the government, the state can't come along and say, we're going to put a meter on your well here and we're going to see how much water you're drawing and put some kind of restrictions on it. That seems to be a big challenge here, that it can't be legislated. It's got to be a kind of cooperative effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. In fact, the executive order requires that the plans be developed under existing laws, regulations, and property rights. So the members of the two groups will certainly have to look carefully at existing laws and regulations to determine how those can be adhered to and perhaps implemented in a stronger fashion to provide a basis for water supply planning. But a lot of the challenges relate, for example, to how we gather data. There's not even any mandatory reporting requirement in Illinois, how much water is used. It's a voluntary reporting mm-hmm. exercise, and we collect all that data at the water survey, and we have a water inventory. We send out questionnaires every year or so, and the compliance rate is now close to 90%. So we'd like to get that up to 100%, but there's some way to go there.
Well, earlier I asked you this question, how much water, what's the daily average water usage in the state? And you said it's something like 16 billion gallons mm-hmm. of water a day. Do you think that is close to being correct? Would you think mm-hmm. that if in fact you could bring that, get your reporting level up to 99%, would that number go up that much?
It would go up some. I mean, we typically don't have good numbers for things like nurseries, some golf courses, that sort of thing. So the number would go up, maybe, you know, a few percent. It's not going to go up drastically. And we do estimate some of the for where we have data gaps.
We have some other callers to talk with. Let us do that. And next go to Champaign, and this would be line one. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Am I correct in saying that our aquifer originates somewhere in the Appalachians and scoots all the way across country before we get it, and that there's the possibility that drought in that area is going to affect us shortly? And then a second thing to comment on, with what I consider an absurdity of developing ethanol from corn or any other thing as a fuel, why is it considered correct to use more energy than what you can get from the burning of the ethanol and consuming anywhere from 4 gallons of clean water while processing the alcohol only, or nearly 140 gallons of water per gallon of ethanol that might be consumed? I'm going to just turn off and listen to you.
All right.
The Mohammed Aquifer is an old river valley, the old Ohio River Valley, that was filled with sand and gravel and other materials as glaciers spread northwards, covered much of Illinois. The old Ohio River, the Mahomet Tays Valley, as it's called, does originate further east. You can, in fact, trace it down into parts of Kentucky and states further to the southeast. But as far as the content of water in Illinois, there's really not strong interconnectivity between those parts of the aquifer further east and the aquifer in Illinois. Once you get to the Illinois-Indiana border, the character of the aquifer changes quite dramatically. So really, we're justified in looking primarily at the aquifer within the state of Illinois. The question of whether droughts further to the east and south might affect the aquifer, I would say no, that's not really a concern. We're concerned with climate conditions over the aquifer itself here in Illinois. But because the aquifer is 150 or so feet down below the surface, it takes typically a few thousand years for water to get down from the surface to the aquifer. So it's pretty well protected from drought. It's the shallow aquifers above the Mahomet Aquifer. There's some patchy aquifers that occur a few tens of feet to up to 100 feet below the surface that are much more susceptible to the impacts of drought and climate change. But the Mahomet Aquifer itself is pretty well drought protected. The other question is, why is it assumed to be correct to use more energy and use a lot of water in ethanol production? I think that depends on who you talk to. It's a value, it's a personal value on the use of resources. It's not, I can't give you a strict scientific answer to that. Certainly, the argument you make about using a lot of energy and a lot of water to produce ethanol is correct, but it's beyond the scope of the Water Survey to pass judgment on whether that is reasonable or not.
Just again, to go back to the first question, it is true that the way that the aquifer gets recharged is from rain. Rain falls down, rain goes on the ground, eventually percolates long, long time, mm-hmm. and then gets down into the aquifer.
Correct. And it's a generally slow, very slow process. As well as direct precipitation over the land down to the aquifer, some aquifers do get recharged from major rivers. Rivers act as both recharge areas and discharge areas for aquifers and groundwater. And one of the things we're looking at in the studies is trying to identify whether there are indeed some key hotspots of recharge close to the major rivers. If we find those linkages, then those are probably areas that need high priority protection.
Well, let's talk with another caller here, Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Along with the last caller, I understand that an ethanol plant will take 6 gallons of water to produce 1 gallon of ethanol. But I also heard that if they do indeed have an ethanol plant, that they will just drill their own well. And so how do you control how much water they take out of the aquifer, or what do you do about that? And then they don't have to pay the water company for their water.
Well, that is true. There's no difference between drawing water for ethanol or drawing water for any other use in the state. Once you own the piece of land, you need permission to construct the well, but no permission to withdraw as much water as you want. The rule, the law that governs that is called a reasonable use law. So you can withdraw as much as you want as long as it is reasonable.
Who decides it's reasonable?
Well, there is no strict definition of that. The only way that it's decided what is reasonable is if someone complains and takes it to court, then it's sorted out through litigation. Mm. And the courts decide what's reasonable and what's not. But that is the basis of our law. But you're correct. You know, they can just drill a well wherever they own property, and
it's very scary.
Yeah, that we're talking about some concerns about the basic law in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Welcome. And this law has been in place for a long time, and I suppose that there are some people who make the argument that was not so problematic if we were just talking about individuals drilling a well and for their household use, drawing whatever water that they need. There's a big difference between that and an industrial user in terms of the scale of the amount of water that they draw. And yet we draw no distinction between those two kinds of uses.
That's correct. It's the water law in Illinois, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm a scientist, so please keep that in mind as I say anything about law here. Mm. It's evolved over time, and it's quite fragmentary in many ways. There has been recommendations to codify and unify Illinois water law, but that hasn't taken place.
We're a little bit past our midpoint here. Let me again introduce our guest, Dr. Derek Winstanley. He is the chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, has been since the beginning of 1997, has been working in the areas of environmental research and management for a long time. He served as deputy chief scientist in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, also is director of the National Acid Precipitation Assessment Program in Washington. He's worked a lot of places around the world, in the UK, the Middle East, Africa, Canada, before coming to the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. We're talking about water. Water in Illinois, where it is, where it comes from, how we're using it, how we want to manage this resource for the future. Questions are welcome. 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line that is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. I know I've read a little bit about the process that we've talked about, that is this process of studying water in the state. The idea being that we're gathering data, trying to get a better understanding of the resource and how it's used, and then we're going to go and try to develop this plan, that the legislature has set aside $1 million, which might on the face of it seem like a lot of money, at least to get this going, but that to develop the plan that we've talked about, I think that some people have put a much larger figure on it than that. Maybe something like in the billions more, or it's certainly more than $1 million. How much do you think that, it will take that much money ultimately to develop the kind of plan that we're talking about? And I suppose ultimately this is a political question, if the legislature is going to be willing to actually put the money into that, or whether the money will be there and it will actually be available to do the work.
Well, actually, with passing the executive order, the governor also made available $5 million over a three-year period. That's both for additional scientific studies in the two regions, but also for setting up these two regional planning groups and their functioning and operations. So I think that's quite adequate for a pilot study. We do have a lot of base information that we're building on, of course, that we've built up over the years at the scientific surveys. And we also have funding from Illinois American Water to help generate new data within the area served by Illinois American, particularly around Champaign County. So I think with all these resources together, we will have a good scientific basis for the two regional groups to develop their recommendations in June 2009. And, of course, I think when they see the reports and the data, they will also see where we will have some data gaps, and I hope some of their recommendations will be to fill those voids in data.
Well, when one talks about the amount of money that it takes to develop and implement a plan like this, is that really what we're talking about? Is that the money we're going to be spending that on doing research, essentially, and trying to do what we've talked about, mapping out the resource and trying to understand how we're using it and what future demand's likely to be like?
Research is a part. Everyone that we've talked to over the years has insisted that any regional water plans be based on good scientific data and information. So that is an absolute important basis for developing the recommendations. But equally, and perhaps even more importantly, it's the process of engaging the diverse interest groups on these two regional planning groups that's absolutely essential. We do have all the major stakeholders represented at these meetings. And to get them to discuss how they perceive water, the value that they place on water, which may be different according to the various interest groups, to come to the table and discuss these issues based on the good science that we provide is the most important part of this process, I think. And what's been lacking before, there's been no process for bringing the various stakeholders together. And that's extremely important.
333-9455, that's the Champaign-Urbana number. We do also have a toll-free line, 800-222-9455. So if it would be a long-distance call, you can use that number. We'll pay for the call. We're talking about water, water in Illinois. And our guest is Dr. Derek Winstanley. He's chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. When you think about water use, how much water we're using now, how much water we're using, going to be using in the future, how much could conservation, you know, really the most efficient use of the resource possible, getting people to use less water, and there are a variety of ways to do that. If everybody went out and bought a low flush toilet, that would make a big difference, and low flow shower heads, and you know, just get people to think about how much water they are using. If we did that to the extent that we could, how much do you think we could actually reduce water usage?
Actually, if you look back over the past several decades at studies that were done in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, for example, where they made projections of water use out to 2007, say, revisit those numbers, we see that those estimates were grossly overestimating how much water we would need. So I think historically we have made much progress in cutting back on some of the wasteful water practices that we've engaged in. And we can no doubt continue to do more. In the Chicago area, for example, that's an excellent case study where they've enforced conservation in the Lake Michigan service area. Chicago has also replaced a lot of the old plumbing and pipes and distribution systems. They've added meters, water meters, to new buildings, which they didn't have before. And they've saved, I don't know the exact percentage, I would say maybe close to 20%, and freed up several hundred million gallons of water per day that can serve other users. Mm-hmm. So there's definite evidence within the state and from other parts of the country that conservation can make a very significant difference. I think here in East Central Illinois, we haven't clearly identified how conservation practices might work and excuse me, who should have the charge in trying to implement those.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. I think that it is the case that we have we've kind of had the luxury of being able to use it without thinking about it. And now we're just at the point where I think we're it's something we are now discussing more than we have in the past. And I think that more and more people are at least they're starting at the point of they're thinking about their water use and being more conscious of that, whereas, you know, in the past you just turn the tap on and you let it run. And I think now more and more people are saying, oh, wait a minute, we shouldn't do that, and are starting to think about how they use water in their lives and the appliances they have that use water, and at least starting to think about the idea of conservation.
Yeah, I think we are making good progress in informing people about the value of water. And increasingly, I think water is being regarded as a valuable resource, a renewable resource, but one that's not totally without limits. And I think people are beginning to see the value of looking to the future and looking at all the possible ways that we can manage the resource in better ways.
We have a caller here, line one, Champagne. Let's talk with him. Hello.
Is it possible that our 20% saving of water, say in the Chicago area, is due more to reduced amount of manufacturing there and also whatever amounts of water we might save through the state as we lose becoming a manufacturing society? And then just incidentally, I think there's at least 4 or 6 wells on the Kraft plant here in Champaign. And since the water company has expanded its service area, is it possible that we've dropped the Mohammed Aquifer by about 10 feet?
In the Chicago area, the loss of some of the old heavy industries has certainly been a factor in overall reduction in water use. But also, if you look at the data for individual communities, average water use, water conservation itself has definitely played a p- perhaps the major role in that overall reduction in water use in northeast Illinois. Kraft here in Champaign has its own well. It's a private industrial well. I think they pump about 1 million gallons a day. So they will contribute that portion of the overall effect on reducing the water levels in the aquifer. But they're small users compared with, say, Illinois Americans' use of 22, 23 million gallons a day. Mm. The water level in the aquifer in the Champaign area, we measure the water level as the head, as we call it, the height to which the water rises when you sink a well. It rises above the aquifer, and that's the how we measure the water level. So that head has dropped to the west of Champaign about 90 feet or so since pre-industrial times. There's a fairly critical point that we probably don't want to lower the head into the top of the aquifer. We would start dewatering the aquifer at that point and mining water. So we have about another approximately 40 feet of head that we can use. So we can pump more water, perhaps maybe an additional 50 million gallons or so, before we start to mine the water at that location in the aquifer. So we need to look at even alternative sources of water for Champaign area as we go out in the decades ahead. Mm-hmm. We're okay in the short term, but in the longer term, we need to look at other sources.
Well, what are other potential sources?
Conservation and reducing demand mm-hmm. is obviously one that should be looked at. Also, you might have to go further outside Champaign-Urbana, perhaps into the northern part of the county or surrounding counties, and pump water there and then transport it, distribute it over longer distances, which will be obviously much more expensive. Mm-hmm. But there's not really any significant major river that flows through Champaign County, so we can't really look at that surface water for a source. We are dependent upon the aquifers. And that's why it's extremely important to manage the aquifers in a sustainable manner.
We have just about 6-7 minutes maybe left in this part of Focus 580. Our guest is Dr. Derek Winstanley. He's chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, and we're talking about water in Illinois. And if you have questions, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I know that there are some communities where they're recycling water. And while some people might find the idea of this not particularly appealing, but what they're actually doing is they're taking the wastewater that's going down people's drains and even water that's going down people's toilets and treating that water and turning that right back around. And that's what comes out of the tap. And what has happened in these places is that people are saying, look, what we're doing here is the water, this water is at bottled water quality. Here, so we have used all the various kinds of methods that we can to purify the water, and it's perfectly fine. That still might, you know, the idea still might be pretty unsettling for people, but that is certainly an option. I'm sure that there are significant costs associated with doing that, but that there are some places where they have apparently simply concluded that's something they just have to do. They cannot afford to throw that water away anymore like they have in the past. Is that something that is a viable kind of idea?
Well, certainly in parts of the West where it's much drier and water is more of a scarce resource, there is a lot of recycling going on and much more planned. Of course, it tends to be more expensive treating the water in that way. Mm. But also in Illinois, for example, there already is some recycling going on. If you think about Elgin and Aurora, for example, they draw their water from the deep aquifers up in northeast Illinois and from the Fox River up there. And the treated wastewater goes into the Fox River, and then that is used further downstream and withdrawn. So it's already occurring. Perhaps people don't realize that it's happening. And here in East Central Illinois, wastewater from Champagne, treated wastewater, goes into the Kaskaskia River. And industries down in Tuscola, for example, use that water. So it already is going on to some extent. You could do much more. But you certainly in a fairly water-rich state, I think you probably have more resistance from the average person to drinking recycled water.
Yeah.
So I think there are other options that would probably come out first.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of people here. We'll try to get them in the time that remains. First, someone here in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, line one. Hello.
Hi. Comment on your ideal way of regulating water, like the news, maybe in a biased report, said out west one city had a water board with a lot of regulations, permits, attorneys, rations, and they still had shortages and a lot of complaints, and another city merely raised the rates for everyone, and people just worked around it and avoided having expensive lawns and avoided washing their cars and so forth.
Well, that I suppose that is a question you ask, is water too cheap? And if one of the things that we're concerned about is making people more conscious of their water use, I suppose one way to achieve that would be to make water more expensive.
Well, the cost of water does vary in different parts of the state and from state to state. Here in Champaign, I think we pay just over $3 for 1,000 gallons of water. It's relatively inexpensive. Mm-hmm. There are other parts of the state where it's up to maybe $6 or $7 for the same amount of water. And other states, particularly states out west, you're paying 4 or 5 times that amount. So the price of water can certainly be an important factor. Of course, it's a socially, economically charged issue when water providers propose increasing water rates, as mm-hmm. we've seen in Champaign-Urbana.
Sure. And what about the idea of developing a water management, you know, having a water management plan that it's essentially not voluntary. We're not just saying, here's the plan. Let's, you know, we all agree it's an important resource. We want to manage it sustainably. Let's all work together to do that. That's one way that we're talking about doing it. But I suppose the other way to do it would be actually to pass laws and rules and regulations and say, this is what it is, and we're going to enforce these. And if you don't follow the rules, then there will be sanctions.
Yes. I mean, as I mentioned, the governor's executive order requires the plans to be developed within existing laws, regulations, and property rights. So I don't think we would have made progress to get these planning groups together if that hadn't been a condition initially. So I think it's extremely important, at least initially, to see how far we can go within existing laws and regulations and property rights. I don't think there's any point in saying straight off that we need to change the law or the regulations until we can see whether or not we can achieve some reasonable management goals within existing laws and regulations.
So you think for the foreseeable future, you would expect that we would still have to deal with that reality of the law that says essentially people are, it's up to you how much water you're going to use.
I think so. I mean, it's been in place so long, it's very difficult to overturn well-established laws. And after all, there's nobody in the state of Illinois going short of water. So you can argue it's working pretty well.
Uh-huh. One more caller at least, Ivesdale, line number two. Hello.
Yes, very interesting program, very important topic. My question is, why couldn't we go back like it used to be where there were tax incentives possibly to encourage people to provide their own cisterns, et cetera, water collection from the roofs and filtering and so on and so forth in that way?
There's no reason why we can't take that direction. I think if the recommendations from the regional planning groups come out trying to support the need for incentives to conserve water and so on, that's a direction we could take. And I would encourage anyone who has ideas on how to best manage the regional water supplies to participate in the meetings of these two regional planning groups. And if anyone's interested, the State Water Survey next Monday, there's a meeting of the Mohammed Aquifer Consortium. I'll be giving a presentation there on sustainability. So all these meetings are public, and I would encourage those who are concerned to make their voice heard.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we'll do Watsika for our last person here, line four. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
My question is about ethanol plants. Will the approval of ethanol plants by the state of Illinois be delayed until this water study is completed in 2009? I live in Iroquois County, where 3 to 4 plants have been proposed, and I'm just concerned that you know, our aquifer will not be able to sustain the development of that number of ethanol plants.
I have no reason to believe that construction of any ethanol plants will be delayed purely because of the water planning process that's underway. It's important for each proposed ethanol plant to do detailed studies on a local basis. It's difficult to generalize about the availability of water for each plant. Individual studies need to be undertaken. It is a concern. Hopefully, in the longer term, this is why we're developing the plans, so that we can look at the cumulative impacts of all additional withdrawals, not only from ethanol plants, but communities, irrigation, other users, and so on. So, in the short term, we probably don't have the sort of planning and analysis that we would like, but things will go on.
Well, I have to jump in here because we've come to the end of the time. I'm sure this is an issue we'll continue to talk about for the moment. We want to say thanks to our guest, Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. It's based here on the campus of the University of Illinois. And they do have a website with a lot of information about water and water issues. So if you're interested in reading up on the subject, you can take a look at there. And I'm sure in future we'll talk again. Thank you.
So. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate being here.